Amen. Thank you, Jeff. If you have your Bible, turn with me to the Gospel according to Luke as we continue our study of this great book, and we're going to pick up where we left off. Luke, the 18th chapter, going to look to the 31st verse and following. Luke chapter 18, verse 31. Then he took unto him 12 and said unto them, Behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and all things that are written by the prophets concerning the Son of Man shall be accomplished. For he shall be delivered unto the Gentiles, and shall be mocked, and spitefully entreated, and spit upon. And they shall scourge him, and shall put him to death. And the third day he shall rise again. And they understood none of these things. And this saying was hid from them, neither knew they the things which were spoken. And it came to pass that as he came nigh unto Jericho, a certain blind man sat by the wayside begging. And hearing the multitude pass by, he asked what it meant. And they told him that Jesus of Nazareth passed by. And he cried, saying, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. And they which were there rebuked him, that he should hold his peace. But he cried so much the more, Son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stood and commanded him to be brought to him. And when he was come near, he asked him, saying, What would you that I would do unto you? And he said, Lord, that I may receive my sight. And Jesus said to him, Receive your sight, your faith has saved you. And immediately he received his sight and followed him, glorifying God, and all the people, when they saw it, gave praise unto God. And God blesses the reading of his word. Join with me as we pray. Father, we would that you would take now your word, that you would touch our hearts, that you would draw us closer to Jesus in this hour. Father, you have ordained this time. And Father, use this time in our lives. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Oh, just a few weeks are left. Just a few short weeks. A few weeks and school will start again. It just seems that just ended, had this long vacation, which has been very short, and now school's going to start. May I ask you to be praying for our schools? May I ask you to be praying for our students, many students and teachers alike go into the school system in a survival mode. They're just trying to make it through. Students go with that one thought, maybe the bell will ring soon. They're waiting for the last bell, and the teachers are there, and they're waiting for exactly the same thing. Teachers look at their career, and they start out with a lot of ambition, with a lot of hopes. They're going to change the world one child at a time. After a little while in the system, they are just trying to get to retirement. If they can only make it through. You see, nobody prepared them for the three P's. Now, they prepared them for A, B, and C's, but not the three P's. You know, the pupils, the parents, and the principals. And so they find themselves bogged down, and they want to teach and they want to prepare the kids, but they're doing so much paperwork and so many other things that the teaching is tough to do. And the kids, those that are being taught, many of them find themselves getting through school not being prepared for anything. Many finish the year and they're not prepared for the next grade, and they're not prepared for the next step, and they're not prepared for college. They're certainly not prepared for the workforce. We need to pray that we'll better prepare our young people. Now, as this text begins, it is very clear that Jesus is diligently seeking to prepare his disciples for what's to come. He's demonstrated again and again who he is and why he came. Now they're on their way to Jerusalem, and Jesus reveals that everything that was written by the prophets is going to be fulfilled, and going to be fulfilled in the very near future. In Genesis, Moses foretold the Messiah would have his head bruised by Satan. In the book of Psalms, Psalms 22, Isaiah 53, it clearly tells of the sacrifice Jesus would make on Calvary's cross. What you need to know is Jesus was not going forward to Jerusalem blindly. Jesus understood what was ahead for him. He understood his bloody sacrifice to come. He understood the pain that he would have to bear. Listen to him in verse 32. He shall be delivered unto the Gentiles. Yes, Jesus would be brought to the Roman authorities. And shall be mocked and spitefully treated. Jesus was ridiculed, beaten until a point that he was unrecognizable. He knew the little details. He said he would be spit upon. In verse 33, and they shall scourge him and put him to death. Well, the skin would be whipped off his very back, but it wouldn't stop there. He would die. Now, Jesus would be brutally murdered, and he would do so to pay the price for your sin and my sin. And Jesus was very aware. He's seeking to prepare them that were chosen to carry the gospel forward. He's trying to get them ready because getting the gospel out would be their job. He was going to go through a brutal death. But it didn't stop there. Verse 33. He said, in the third day, he shall rise again. Wow, what news. Jesus would suffer, bleed, and die, but he finished the story. He would rise again the third day. The third day is going to make all the difference. The disciples didn't have to lose hope. They could understand that it was going to come through the cross, and it was going to be very difficult.
Church today. We find their attitudes in verse 34. They didn't understand anything. Neither knew they those things that were spoken. So Jesus and his disciples come near to Jericho, and Jesus gives another proof that he's the Messiah. We find here in this passage a blind man, in verse 35. And it came to pass that he was come near unto Jericho, and a certain blind man sat there by the wayside begging. As Jesus and the crowd was going to Jerusalem, they would go through Jericho, and as they go through Jericho, sitting by the side of the road on the way into Jericho, there is a blind man on the road. Now, he's been there for some time. Perhaps the week has been slow. Perhaps things had not been moving very well. He woke up in the morning and went to work. What was his work? Well, his work was right there, begging. And he had to do so because he was blind. When you got up this morning, when you opened your eyes, could you see? Has there been a time that you've actually thought to thank God for the eyesight that you have? It is a terrible truth that many go through life without sight. Many find themselves in darkness. The National Federation for the Blind reports that there are over 660,000 boys and girls under the age of 21 that are blind. An additional 7 million adults. 23 million adults reported a loss of some vision in a recent year. 100,000 boys and girls lose their sight each year worldwide. And that's just due to a loss of vitamin A. In Jesus' day, there were many that were blind, many that were sightless. Jesus would heal seven. Jesus has just told his disciples that they're going to Jerusalem, and God is going to fulfill everything that was required to prove that he was the Messiah. In Isaiah 35, 4 through 5, one of those proofs is found. Be strong, fear not. Behold, your God will come with a vengeance, even God with a recompense. He will come and save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be open, and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Here's one of the grand prophecies of the Messiah. He would not only come, but he would come and he would have the ability to give sight to the blind. Now that was really widely known as one of the proofs of the Messiah. It was so widely known that when John the Baptist was in prison, he sent a messenger to Jesus to see if Jesus was really the Messiah. This is how Jesus answered in Luke 7:22. Go your way, tell John the things you have heard and seen. The blind receive their sight. The lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, to the poor the gospel is preached. And so one of the great proofs that Jesus is the Messiah is he could give sight to the blind. The disciples didn't understand when Jesus told them of his coming death, burial, and resurrection. So now God's going to paint a picture for them that's clear to what they can't understand. He's going to show them that this is the same Messiah, this Jesus. Blindness is a picture of what sin can do in a life. The blind can't see clearly where they are. They can't see clearly where they're going. They find themselves in places of danger without knowledge. Sin blinds us. Sin puts us in darkness of sin. Have you ever wondered why people get into such horrible things? How do they get into such utter darkness? By taking one step out of the light. You see, when you get into sin, you don't see where you are. You don't see how far from God you've gone. You don't see how pitiful your life has become. In the darkness of sin, there is great danger. Jesus and his disciples come close to Jericho, and there by the side of the road is a poor blind man named Bartimaeus. Now Bartimaeus was blind, but Bartimaeus was also a begging man. In verses 38 through 39, and he cried saying, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. And they who went ahead rebuked him and that he should hold his peace. But he cried so much the more, son of David, have mercy on me. Bartimaeus was not only blind, Bartimaeus made his living the only way that was open to him. You see, in that day, there weren't a whole lot of programs around that he could get into. He could not learn to do some certain tasks because he was blind and there was no help. The only thing left for him to do in his day was to depend on the mercy of others. And so that's what he did. He probably woke up very close to where he begged. In fact, he probably lived in that particular spot day and night. Beggars in desperation would take anything. It didn't matter what it was. Certainly they would want alms. They would want a coin. If they got a coin, that was a great thing, but they didn't always get a coin. If they got a crust of bread, well, that was something to eat. That was a treasure to behold. Sometimes they would get a garment. An old piece of cloth would be thrown their way, and they would use that to cover themselves. This was the life of Bartimaeus. If people were not kind, he could not live. If people did not come his way, he would starve. Bartimaeus can't see who's coming. He can't see, but he can hear. He hears the crowd coming his way. In desperation, he does a very smart thing. He asks. Yes, Bartimaeus asked others. And they told him, Jesus of Nazareth is passing by. You know, it's said that when one loses one of their senses, that their other senses become more acute. Now, I don't know if that's true or not, but I know Bartimaeus could listen. He had listened to the people. He had been listening for some time. He had heard of Jesus. He knew about the Messiah. He knew what the Bible taught. Probably every blind person knew that the Messiah could heal the blind. And probably every blind person prayed for the opportunity to meet the Messiah. If only the Messiah could come, then perhaps he could receive sight. And so he's been listening. He knows what to listen for. He hears that the Messiah is coming. The scripture reveals that as soon as Barnabas knew it was Jesus, he began to cry out. Now the Greek tells us in a tone that he began to cry out, but he continued to cry out. He didn't just say once, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." He continually said, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." And he was not very calm about it. As much as he could move, he moved. As much as he could wave his arms, he waved his arms. As much as he could jump up and down, he jumped up and down. He was saying, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." And the people around him were embarrassed. Bartimaeus was making quite a spectacle of himself. They thought he wasn't being very dignified. Listen, Jesus was coming. Bartimaeus was blind. I don't blame Bartimaeus at all. If you are here today and you don't know Jesus, if you are here today and you are in lostness, if you are blind because of your sin, I want you to know that Jesus is here. You've got an opportunity to come to him. Don't let anybody stop you. Bartimaeus had an opportunity to get close to Jesus. He might not ever have that opportunity before. He's not going to miss it. Do you have a need? Do you have a heartache? Do you need a touch from God? Do you need God to do something in your life? Do you need God's direction? I'm here to tell you that Jesus is near to comfort and cheer. Just when you need him most, he is here today. He is willing to meet you at your point of need. But you need to call out to him. Don't let the opportunity to come to Jesus pass. Well, here we have this blind man that was a begging man. And we see he was a brought man. In verse 40 it says, "And Jesus stood and commanded him to be brought unto him. And when he was come near, he asked, saying, What would you that I shall do unto you?" It's worth noting that Jesus was close enough to the blind man to know that he was there. He was close enough to the blind man to hear him shout. I think you could have been a pretty good piece away and heard him shout. But he was close enough to understand what was going on. Jesus, in his mind, knew exactly who the man was, knew exactly what the man needed. In fact, Jesus knew he was going to be there before this whole thing happened. So here Jesus is. He understands that the man is there. He's coming. Actually, had he waited just a few moments, he would have been right there where Bartimaeus was. But note, Jesus has Bartimaeus brought to him. Now, Jesus didn't do this in every case, but he did it in this case. Bartimaeus would have stumbled that way sooner or later. He would have gotten close to Jesus. But more importantly, Jesus could fully see. He could go to where Bartimaeus was. It wouldn't take long for them to get together. But Jesus commands that he be brought to him. It is the desire of God to use people who believe in Jesus to bring others to Jesus so that they might believe. Jesus could have just healed him right there. He did that before. Remember when he called out, he had a man come to him. His child was sick at home, and he just asked Jesus, and Jesus did the healing. He didn't have to go. Because Jesus had the power to do that. He had the power to heal him. Jesus had him brought because the disciples needed to know they needed in life to be bringing people to Jesus. They needed to bring people to the truth. And by the way, we need to know that. If you have Jesus as your Savior, you are to be bringing people to Jesus. That's your job. That's my job, yes. But it's your job too. Matthew 28:19-20 says, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the age." Jesus commands us to go to where people are and bring them to Him. How are you doing on that? We're challenging people in the summer to witness to at least three people. Find at least three people that you can tell about Jesus. Just three people. That's not very many. We have till September. Between now and September, can you just tell three people about Jesus? Tell three people how they can know Him. Three people how they can be saved. Three people how they can go to heaven. Three people how they don't have to go to hell. Three people. Introduce three people to Jesus. You can do that. Certainly, we should be doing far more than that. It should be part of our daily breath that we are looking for those that are lost, and we are willing to tell them how they can be found and how they can come to Jesus. We need to be bringing people to Jesus. You may be the only person that can bring somebody to Jesus. You may be the only person that cares enough about them. You may be the only person that they're going to listen to. We know that the best way to reach children is through children. The best way to reach teens is through teens. You know, I believe in this next year we're going to see a lot of growth in our youth group, because our youth are going to be reaching out more than they have in the past, and they're going to be bringing people to Jesus. But we should be growing at every age level for the same reason. You know, the greatest way to reach senior adults is through senior adults. You know, a lot of age groups don't listen to anybody outside their age group. Did you know that? Now, we blame teens for that. We say teens don't listen to anybody that's older. But, you know, we're kind of the same way. And so who is going to be best to get to the 80-year-old? Well, another 80-year-old. If you're 70 or 90, you can still witness to an 80. That's okay. It works out. But understand that people will listen to you more if they see themselves as being more akin to you. As a believer, we should be willing to reach everyone that comes before us, anybody at any age group, at any time. But understand, if we don't carry that banner, if we don't bring people, there will be people that do not get to Jesus. Jesus commands the disciples. They bring Bartimaeus. And when Bartimaeus gets to Jesus, Jesus knows why he's there. Bartimaeus knows why he's there. The disciples know why he's there. But Jesus asks him, "What would you like me to do?" May I tell you, Jesus is not going to force himself on anybody. There are some people out there that say certain people are going to be saved, certain people are going to be lost. Doesn't matter who does it. Doesn't matter who talks to them or who doesn't talk to them. It's just going to happen. My friend, Jesus will not force himself into anybody's life. He will not save you if you don't want to be saved. He'll not forgive you your sin if you don't want your sin forgiven. He comes to you. He gives you the opportunity. You have to ask. You have to receive him. The Bible says, "But as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the children of God." And so Bartimaeus, what do you want Jesus to do? And Bartimaeus says, "That I may receive my sight." Well, this blind man, this begging man, becomes a believing man in verse 42. "And Jesus said unto him, Receive your sight, your faith has saved you." Bartimaeus has had his life changed. And he's had his life changed because he has put his faith in Jesus Christ. Do you want your life to change? It will only change when you put your faith in Jesus Christ. Don't put it in other people. Certainly do not put it in me. People will let you down. We're good at that. Jesus will never let you down. this man did not ask Jesus for what he deserved. He cried out for mercy, believing that Jesus could give him mercy. As sinners, we deserve a place in hell. We don't deserve mercy. We don't deserve anything but hell. But Jesus offers love. He offers grace. He offers healing. He offers salvation. He offers forgiveness. Bartimaeus is brought to Jesus. Jesus asks, "What will you desire?" The blind man has heard of the Messiah, that the Messiah can give sight. He asks for sight. Immediately when he asks, he can see. I know the song had not been written, but I believe he could sing in his heart. I heard about his healing, of his cleansing power revealing, how he made the lame to walk again and caused the blind to see. And then I cried, "Dear Jesus, come and heal my broken spirit." And Jesus came and brought to me the victory. That's victory in Jesus. Jesus is able to meet you at your point of need. Jesus is able to touch you at your point of hurt. Jesus is able to forgive you at your point of sin. He's the only one that can. Jesus gave Bartimaeus his sight. And what did Bartimaeus do? Stay on the street corner? Continue to beg? No, he followed Jesus. And he praised God. And when people saw him, they knew that he was the blind man and now he could see. And the Bible says that they praised God. My friend, when you come to Jesus, you are going to cause other people to want to come to Jesus. When you stand for Jesus, you're going to cause other people to stand for Jesus. When you start telling other people about Jesus, you're going to encourage other people to tell people about Jesus. We need to have a praising Jesus in our heart that is so great that everybody we come into contact praises Jesus because we are so praising Jesus. When you come to Jesus, things change. And that's a good change that can change others. Now, God's brought you here today so that you can make a change, so that you can come closer to Jesus than you have ever been. Some of you are saved. In fact, many of you are saved. You've already got Jesus in your heart. I'm glad you got Jesus in your heart. But are you bringing others? Are you living as God would have you live? Are you drawing other people in? Are you praising Jesus with all that you are, with all that you have? Maybe today you need to recommit yourself to putting Jesus first. You need to determine that you're going to reach out, that you're going to share what God has done in your heart, that you're going to bring people to Jesus. When you do, others will praise him. God calls to your heart. He calls you to a decision. If you don't know him, you need to come to know him. Let's stand for prayer. Father, right now in this room are some that have never met you. Father, they know of you, but they've never opened their heart. They've never come to you. They've never asked you to save their heart, save their soul. And so I pray that today they would come to Jesus. I pray that they'd be willing to step out, to come forward and just say, "I want Jesus." Father, that you would do the work in their life that they need most. I pray for believers. Father, we desperately need to have a heart to bring the lost to you. Create that heart in us. Let today be the day of new commitment. And Father, let us follow you to get the word out to others. Move within us now. Do a work in our hearts. And Father, we praise you for Jesus. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As we sing, you come.
Living.